A woman steals an $8 tube of mascara while mourning her infant daughter's death. Her punishment? A year in jail and a $15,900 debt that will haunt her for years. This isn't Victorian England, it's modern America, where Brooke Bergen's story reveals a justice system that has quietly transformed into something our founders would barely recognize. Courts have become collection agencies, jails have become profit centers, and poverty has become a crime punishable by imprisonment. What's remarkable isn't just that this is happening, it's that it took a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigation to make us notice. Across America, 34 million people live one traffic ticket away from financial ruin, trapped in a system that extracts $50 billion in fines and fees while pretending it's about public safety. The scales of justice don't balance anymore. They're tipped by the weight of your wallet. When the 2008 recession hit, state budgets imploded. Oklahoma lost 21% of its tax revenue. Missouri dropped 14%. Governors facing rising costs, many bound by no tax pledges, transformed courts into revenue generators. Minor infractions suddenly carried escalating fines and fees for everything from courthouse security to victims' compensation. Ferguson, Missouri, extracted $2 million annually, 23% of its budget, primarily from Black residents. Nearly 600 American cities now collect over 10% of their budgets from court fines, with some Louisiana towns deriving 75% from traffic tickets. Public safety became secondary to revenue collection. Police became tax collectors. Judges became accountants. The two-tiered system is stark. If you have money, a speeding ticket is an annoyance. If you don't, it's the first domino in a cascade ending with jail, joblessness, and homelessness. The descent into America's debtor's prison typically begins with something trivial. Kendi Kilman was driving home from visiting her hospitalized grandmother when police pulled her over for a cracked windshield. They found a pipe with marijuana residue in her recently purchased car. 7 hours in custody, immediate job jeopardy. Then the real punishment began, not the arrest, but what came after. At court, she couldn't afford the $40 fee to apply for a public defender, the fee to access your constitutional right to counsel. When the judge finally waived it, her court-appointed lawyer advised a no-contest plea. Then came the shock, $2,300 in court costs. Living on $543 monthly disability for her son, plus $306 in food stamps, she agreed to $100 monthly payments, terrified of arrest warrants and license suspension. Sasha Darby faced similar devastation after hitting her roommate during an argument. Unable to afford legal help, she waived her right to counsel without knowing the fee could be waived. In an 11-minute trial, she convicted herself by admitting to the hit, something a defense attorney might have reframed as self-defense. The judge demanded $1,000 or jail time, forcing her to agree to 175 monthly payments from her $1,600 income while supporting two children. These aren't isolated cases. They're the system working exactly as designed, converting poverty into profit. Cash bail operates as a wealth test masquerading as public safety. Two people commit identical crimes. One walks free immediately, the other languishes in jail for months. The difference? Money. Pre-trial detention demolishes lives. Jobs vanish, cars get repossessed, apartments are lost, children enter foster care. Overwhelmed public defenders rarely challenge excessive bail. Prosecutors weaponize this desperation, offering time-served plea deals to possibly innocent people who can't afford to wait for trial. Brooke Bergen's case exposes the brutality. Her mascara theft earned probation under a private company. As a known addict, she faced random drug screenings, results posted publicly online, destroying employment prospects. A missed phone call meant 10 days in jail, plus a $943.50 board bill. A failed drug test brought 14 more days and mounting debt. When payments lapsed, the judge sentenced her to a full year. "I lost hope," Bergen said. "I just gave up." An $8 theft became years of supervision, debt, and repeated incarceration, a modern debtor's prison. America's justice system has adopted a Kafka-esque practice, charging people for their own imprisonment. Nearly every Missouri county outside major cities bills inmates $35 to $50 daily for jail stays. Similar schemes operate in 23 Wisconsin counties and states from Florida to California. Leon Banderman stole $24.29 worth of nail polish from Walmart. Unable to afford $3,000 bail, she spent 30 days in jail before pleading guilty. Her bill, $1,400 for being incarcerated. Retired Judge Gary Oxenhandler calls this horrible and just not right, especially when courts jail people again for failing to pay. Officials claim they're not running debtors' prisons. They're jailing people for missed hearings or probation violations, not debt. But strip away the legal semantics, without aggressive fee collection, these defendants wouldn't be returning to jail. The conditions worsen the injustice. Dent County Jail housed 9 to 13 women in cells designed for four, with black mold growing freely. One New Mexico county spends $1.17 to collect every dollar. This isn't about revenue. It's punishment for being poor. Public defender Matthew Mueller challenged the system through strategic litigation. His landmark cases featured John Wright and George Ritchie, two white men from rural Missouri. Wright, living on $600 monthly disability with a traumatic brain injury, was jailed for not paying for a cab ride. Unable to afford bail, he spent 3 months in jail before pleading guilty, then received a $1,300 bill for his stay. Ritchie, after violating a protection order, served 90 days and received a $3,158 bill. When he couldn't pay, a warrant led to 65 more days and over $5,000 in debt. Mueller filed dozens of cases across Missouri between 2017 and 2019. In March 2019, the Missouri Supreme Court unanimously ruled that while counties could charge jail bills, they couldn't use courts to collect them or jail people for non-payment. Criminal justice reform united unlikely allies. Republican Bruce DeGroot and Democrat Mark Ellebracht co-sponsored legislation to end Missouri's debtors' prison scheme. Progressive groups like the ACLU worked alongside conservative Americans for Prosperity. Yet, reform remains fragile. Less than a year after Missouri's victory, Senator Bill White attempted to undermine it by reclassifying jail bills as court costs. Only public outcry stopped him. This pattern repeats nationwide. When protections are won, powerful interests fight back. In Norman, Oklahoma, Kendi Kilman hosts a family dinner in her subsidized apartment. 20 relatives gather, all living in the same HUD complex. When she asks who's overdrawn, several hands rise. They discuss end-of-month survival, ramen noodles, peanut butter sandwiches, stretching groceries. Despite these hardships, Kilman considers herself fortunate. She's avoided jail time for unpaid court fees that trap many neighbors. Reform is spreading. 15 states have ended driver's license suspensions for unpaid court debt. California's reform increased court collections by 9% after people kept their licenses and jobs. Mississippi reinstated 100,000 suspended licenses in 2017. These changes prove that treating people with dignity enhances public safety. Yet 11 million Americans still can't drive legally because of court debt. Real reform means eliminating cash bail, ending court fees as revenue sources, and halting license suspensions for debt. Justice isn't supposed to have a price tag, and the measure of a society is how it treats its most vulnerable.